Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Tales from the Doghouse Separation Anxiety Explained. I am Stacey Bell with Focused Fun in the U.S., and with us is...
Hello, I'm Ness Jones from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Encoded in Australia, and we have two special guests with us today. We have Michelle, who's a former client of mine, and Benny, her dog, who has the best side eye in the world. Michelle, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. And Benny.
Hi. Good
How
to see
are you?
Really good. Thank you.
Look at Benny.
And just had breakfast. So he's
barking
a lot.
Oh, and he's licking his mouth a lot too. He's like, blah, blah, blah. So maybe we can start. I know we worked together for, gosh, how long? Maybe, was it 8 weeks or was it longer than that?
I think it was in 8 weeks. Yeah.
But maybe before we talk about that, you could talk to us about where Benny came from, a bit about his past, how he came into your life, and also what your life looks like pre us working together.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. We're going to say bye-bye.
Bye, Benny. Oh, he's so cute.
All right. Good boy. Thank you. So we got Benny from a breeder during COVID. So he's our little COVID baby. So he always had dogs around him, whole bunch of people around him, so he wasn't used to being left alone. And also because during COVID I was working from home, so again he never had anyone leave him alone at home alone. So obviously when things opened up in Australia, I had to go back to work a couple of days a week. So I had a beagle before Benny, and he had a little bit of separation anxiety, but we would leave food for him and he would go off on a hunt for his food and he'll be fine, basically. And so we did that with Benny as well. And unfortunately, it didn't work. So he would finish his food and then he would just cry all day and all hours until I got home. And we had like separated the kitchen area and the living room area so he could hang out in the living room, in the kitchen area. And one time he was so anxious, he knocked the baby gate that we had in place down and just like ran all over the house. And he was just not coping with me being back at work. And I remember talking to our neighbors and they were like, once you leave in about 10 minutes, the crying starts and it doesn't stop until you get back. And obviously because he's a beagle, he's got a very large lungs and a very sad cry. So everyone was just like, it sounds like you're torturing him. So they were anxious for him. It was really bad. And there was I think the thing that sort of made it sort of concrete for us was we were going away, like as in how bad it was we were going away for a long holiday. And I had packed food on the table and everything, and it was way out of his reach. And sort of, yeah, it was just like, you know, snacks and foods and noodles and stuff like that. And I went to work and I came back and he had somehow managed to climb onto the table, wrecked everything on the table, broke glass, got food, buried food outside in the yard. And he was just like, it looked like a hurricane had come through the kitchen. And it was just like, he can't do this anymore. Like it was just too much. Like for us, it was like all the destruction. And then for him, it was just like, I could just see he was not coping with us being away from home. So when we got back from holidays, I was just like, we need to do something because I'm never going to not be able to go to work again. Like, I have to go into the office. So that's how we got in contact with Ness. After a lot of Googling.
I remember, you had really tolerant neighbours too. Like, they were lovely. They weren't the type of neighbours that were constantly complaining. They were actually worried about poor little Benny.
Yeah. And they had actually offered to take care of him while we were away, like out at work and stuff. But because at the time he was really young and so quite puppyish. It's about like probably 2.5, 3. But he was still like a beagle puppy. He was just like, everything needed to be sniffed and explored, and you know, and they were much older, our neighbors, so they were just like, we can't keep up with him. You gotta do something.
what was some of the advice that you had before we got together? Like, did you have people saying, oh, just leave him, or you know, did you get some poor advice from people?
I don't know that it was poor advice, but I think it was just it was just really sort of, I guess, like high level type advice. So it was kind of like, oh, you know, you need to put food on a licky mat for him and then let him sort of digest that and then sort of make sure he's not reacting and then come back into the room if he looks like he might be reacting. But it was just sort of said in passing, sort of like, oh, just do that and see if it works for you. And food was always obviously the thing was sort of recommended as a distraction. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. because the cat worked with our last beagle, I thought, all right, we'll just keep doing that. And we had a yard, so we just, you know, scattered food and hid food everywhere. But yeah, he basically, once he finished looking for his food and found everything, he was like crying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Stacey? Did you want
to? No, I was just like, you know, obviously the right before you went on vacation when like he kind of hit all of the stuff on the counter and stuff, that was, it seemed like maybe the straw that broke the camel's back when you're like, we need help.
Yeah.
And you said that you were Googling to try to find what to do. What sort of, did you find a lot of information when you were Googling, or what led you to Ness?
I don't know. I think I was just looking for someone who had like, who had a proper sort of understanding, I think, of separation anxiety. It wasn't just a sort of trainer that was, you know, trained tricks and trained behavior, but didn't have an understanding of what separation anxiety was. And because to me, it felt like Benny had really, really bad separation anxiety, I was like, I don't think a normal sort of trainer was going to do it. I was going to get... Yeah. And also when I Googled, I saw Ness had like online courses and stuff that sort of fitted in with my schedule of how I could do things and mm-hmm. still complete the training with her. So yeah, that was another one of the reasons why I chose Ness.
Right. Okay, good. So when you first started, before you started working with Ness, before that initial call, how were you feeling about the situation?
Like super stressed.
Yeah.
My partner used to be able to take him to work sometimes because he worked in a mechanics workshop, and then he had changed mm-hmm. roles and so couldn't do that anymore, and I definitely had to go back to work, and the office was actually going like, you know, you have to come in a few more days a week, and I was just like, I can't pay for daycare. I mean, you know, we still put him in daycare, so we put him one day or 2 days a week in daycare, but it was like work was being flexible and sort of saying, look, you can come in for a few hours and go back home and stuff like that. So I thought if we could do that, it would sort of work very nicely with daycare, but he had to be able to stay at home alone at some point. And also
right.
I just kind of wanted to go out at some point.
Yeah.
Like, we love him and we do take him most places with us, but there's just some places you can't, you know, take him.
Of course.
Right.
So we started with an assessment, and I think we actually started your first training at, I think it was actually 5 minutes, because I think your neighbor said as well, we kind of had a yardstick before we even did the assessment to work out what his threshold was, because they said he starts barking at 10, you know, after 10 minutes. Yeah. But yeah. We did start your training at the 5 minute mark, which is actually not bad, because a lot of my clients start a lot lower than that. I'm sure it's the same with you as well, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Some clients, you can't even get out the door before their dogs start showing anxiety. So 5 minutes is like, woohoo. Yeah.
No, but I was hearing stories about, you know, because I'm also part of Nessa's Facebook group for separation anxiety. And I was hearing stories about other people's dogs going for like 6 hours and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, Benny's never going to get there. 5 minutes. So, yeah, but I was just like, look, follow the process.
Yes. Do it.
This is a long game.
It is a long game. Yeah.
And you did follow the process. Right. Yeah. And the funny thing is, Benny, well, I mentioned the side eye before, Benny would be on his little bed and the camera would be set up and you just see this like side eye all the time. It was so funny. I used to love watching his videos because just for the side eye, it's like, did he do it today?
He still doesn't. So he's still always looking at the video suspiciously.
So tell me, so we used the training app. How did you find the process of the training?
Really easy to follow. Like, because it was kind of like, we started off really easy with short durations, and then we started making things a little bit more complicated, I guess, for Benny. So including like leaving cues and increasing the time, that sort of thing. So it was actually really easy. It was kind of like step by step. So I wasn't having to try to make up stuff and sort of figure out for myself what it was that was getting Benny, that was setting Benny off. And it was good to have like feedback from Ness as well, just sort of guidance around what I had to do, how I could increase time, how I could add cues. And so we don't set him off and go backwards in our training.
We had several different training scenarios for you, which I remember it was quite funny because there was one that was called Hustle Bustle.
Yes.
because Michelle, I'm sorry, Michelle, but I'm dobbing you. So she was saying she's always running late in the morning. So when she's trying to get ready for work, she's like running around. And that was kind of a difficult situation for Benny because he was like, you know, he would see that and he would go, whoa. So we called it Hustle Bustle. And I think I encouraged you to get up a bit earlier as well, didn't I?
Yes. I still hustle and bustle, but I only do it when I need to leave with him.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But if not, I'm calm.
Yeah. And then one of the training scenarios was for your partner, your hubby. And that was when he did it by himself. But I actually got Michelle not to leave. Like we didn't let him do it by himself, did we? Like you were outside around the corner pretending to have gone so that we made sure your hubby didn't get it wrong.
Because no disrespect.
Yeah, but he hadn't been part of the any of the training or the assessment or anything. And I've seen it happen before where hubby comes along and decimates it. So I said, how about you go out and pretend to be gone and then you're out there with him just to make sure everything goes smoothly. So
because I think so unconsciously that always forgets things from the house. So he'll go out and it looks like he's leaving and he'll come back in again. So it was a training of a few minutes in and a few minutes out. So it was much easier for Benny to get used to Matt leaving rather than me, because I hustle and bustle and then I'm gone.
right.
And so that was like, for him, it was like definitely gone. But for Matt, it was like in and out. And then he was gone, which was the training scenario. So,
Yeah, it was pretty easy to factor him in. And then, of course, there was one that you did the training together as well, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember there was one of you shutting the back door because that was a big trigger for Benny. If you locked up that back door. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still like I say, when I and bringing him out, picking him out with me, it'd be the same. Like, is that a sneeze from your dog?
No. He's barking at next door's got a, they're putting solar on the roof. So, they're like.
Oh.
So like if I take him out with me and I close that door, he knows that it's time to go.
Right.
So if I am actually leaving without him, I close the door and then I slowly walk out and then I come back in, and I do it again. And then he's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
So you're still doing the warm-up steps then, even now?
So I only do, it depends. So I look at how he is. So in the morning, he's a little bit more excitable because we've just had a walk and the morning routine is sort of, he's had a walk, he has breakfast, and then he's sort of still a little bit hyped up from the walk. So if I'm leaving early in the morning, I do one warm-up step. So I close the door, I go back out, and then I come back in. And then I do it and then I go. But if it's in the afternoon, sort of like 11, 12 o'clock, when he's like already calm and already sleepy, I just leave the house. So
mm-hmm. How long are you able to leave him now?
That was my question. Yeah.
So he's up to 6 hours.
Wow.
So wow.
Yeah. So I've been able to sort of go to work because I live quite far from work as well. So it's sort of like, the time I have at work is short if I only have 3 hours with him. Like if he only can do 3 hours, so 6 hours gives me a good amount of time at work.
Mm-hmm.
And with travel and everything, so I've been really, really happy. Sort of trying to see if I can get to about 6:30, and then that would be sort of where I'd stop. Like I'm happy with where that is because it's more than enough time for me to be out.
And right.
Do you still watch him on camera? And what does he do?
Oh, he just sleeps and makes side eye at it. And the other day, because we have like a little, it's a makeshift camera, it's an old iPad that sort of sits on the floor and points towards where his bed is. And the other day, he just like slept on the camera. And I was like, well, that's great. Well, he's really stressed now.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah. So, but he's good. And we've got like a little robo-vac that has a camera as well. So when he knocks the camera down, we send that around on patrol to look for him.
Wow. Yes. That's very high tech.
Yes. Yeah. We just got that. And like, he just looks at it like, what is that thing?
More side eye, huh?
Yes. More side eye.
Yes. Any questions, Stacey, about the?
Yeah. So, do you feel like that? Kind of looking back on the process, do you feel like you would have gotten the same results if you had tried to work through it on your own?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I would. I just didn't. Yeah, I just didn't know what to do. Like, you know, I've read a few things about drugs because I did try on Benny. And like natural drugs, which we tried on him as well. And they kind of all just didn't work. I think he was so anxious before the training. Like he just, like the drugs just didn't work on him. Like obviously we tested it out before we left him alone while on drugs.
Right.
And he just be knocked out. And it was really bad sort of reaction to it. And we were just like, oh, I don't know if it's good to have him alone on drugs. So when we tried to leave him alone on the drugs, he was just in such a heightened state of anxiety that the drug actually didn't work on him.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that obviously didn't work. So, So I don't think we tried. Sorry. That's how loud. I don't think we would have managed to get him to this stage without help. He was just going to, we tried all the usual stuff that you read on the internet, like drugs, natural drugs, leaf food, and it just wasn't helping.
As I remember too, you were really diligent with your training. So you were, you were like, we're going to do this and we're going to get it right and we're going to follow the process. And I can't remember, were you doing maybe more than one session a day? I'm not 100% sure.
No, we didn't do, Unless we were doing one with Matt as well, then we did.
Yes.
Yeah, so we would do one. I would do one with him, with Benny in the morning, and then like if in the evening when Matt comes home, we did another session. But they were all like shorter sessions.
Yeah.
And once we finished up with training, like the eight weeks with you, I continued doing it to build up the time. So I did it like maybe 3 or 4 times a week just to make sure he was ready for when I actually went back to work, because we started in December. So I was just like, okay, I have a few months to get him to a certain point, and then so I had to keep doing it. And we were really determined to get him to a stage where he could be calm on his own at home. And like the neighbors were just so amazed. Because they were just like, is he alone? We don't hear anything anymore.
Oh wow. Like,
you've just done amazing things with him. I know, he's not a good trainer.
How did it feel when you and Matt, I guess you guys went out for dinner at some point and were like, oh my God, how did that feel?
It was actually really weird, like, because, you know, it's kind of like a parent thing, right? You're more stressed than they are. So I was watching the camera going, oh no, don't, he's moving, what's happening? But after like, you know, a couple of times, it was just like, oh, that he's fine, it's all good, and he's not going to react. Like, he knows what to do now, how to calm himself.
Right.
And sort of, yeah, stay calm until we get home.
Do you find yourself, like when you are out, constantly looking at your phone to see what's going on, or are you a little bit more relaxed about it now?
Definitely more relaxed now. Like when I first went back to work, I was always checking on him. My battery on my phone ran out so many times. But now I'm like, you know, I pretty much check for the first maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then if he's just not doing anything and just lying down, I don't check until, you know, like lunch or halfway through the day, that sort of thing. And basically he's just moved, maybe changed position.
Yeah.
So, I'm not as much of an anxious mom as I used to be.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
But, yeah. The thing that
go ahead.
I think the thing that was like really exciting for us was that we went away on holiday at the end of last year, and we brought Benny with us, and it was at like my partner's mom's farm. And we wanted to go for dinner there, and it was like a different surrounding and everything was like new for him. So we sort of did like some preparatory things, walked him, let him sniff a lot, put him in the room to get used to the house and everything. And then we had to go out for dinner one night, and we were like, all right, let's see whether he can generalize the training to a new environment. So we did all the preparatory steps, and then we went, and he was like, I'll just sleep in my crate. It's all good.
Wow.
I know. I was so excited.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like, it was really good. We were, it was like, oh my God, this is the best thing that we have done.
So during, as you were building up time from that 5 minutes, did you run into a lot of variability in your training, or was he just like pretty much acing it?
So in the training itself, I think he might have been acing it most of the time during the training. There were a couple of sessions that I think it might have been with Matt where he was, I wouldn't say anxious, but sort of like, oh, they've left and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Kind of, he had this sort of look about him, like he would go sit at the door and just wait at the door. He doesn't do that normally, and in any duration he would sit on his bed or sit near the tile on the tiled floor, that sort of thing. So when he sits at the door, that sort of makes me a little bit like, oh, he's starting to get a bit worried. And then he like whine a little bit, so I was like, oh no. But he did sort of whine once or twice and then kind of went, oh, okay, they're not coming, and sort of stop, which sort of was, and I was told that that was okay as long as he stopped and didn't escalate. So yeah, those were the like just little things here and there that sort of was good in a sense, because then I got to know his signals of anxiety a little bit better, and I knew what to look out for.
Right. Good.
Cool. So what is life like now? I guess we've sort of covered this already, but yeah, I guess you've got your freedom back in a sense.
Yes.
Probably don't feel as trapped or, you know, like a prisoner so much.
Yeah. And definitely, like, you know, so I can go to work without worrying as much anymore. And yeah, we don't have to chuck him in daycare Chuck is terrible. He loves daycare. We don't have to go put him at daycare for, you know, shorter durations. So we only sort of put him there when, you know, I'm going to be away for like 8 to 10 hours, that sort of thing. So that's definitely plus, and being able to go out and not sort of stress too much about him. That's really good. And yeah, I mean, before the training, Matt was like, oh my God, this dog has put us in prison.
Really?
You know, we love him, but he is really put us in prison. Like, we can't do anything. We always have to be at home. Now there is kind of like, oh, there's a choice. Do we want to take him out with us, or do we want to just go out on our own? You know, that sort of thing. So it's good. It's, you know, and we still take him out with us, obviously, because we love spending time with him. But yeah, it's sort of, it makes us feel lighter, because before this burden of having to always make sure we take him out, otherwise there'd be neighbors telling us he's been crying, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any questions, Tace?
I don't think so.
I think we've very aptly covered everything. Yeah, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey with this, because I think hopefully it'll give hope to other people that are, you know, struggling with separation anxiety, because we do appreciate how hard it is. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. No, thank you for the training. Like, it was really the best thing we could have done for Benny, because yeah, it's just sort of given us our life back and given him his life back, because he's now calm. And all that training has made him, I think, grow up a bit more too. Like, he's a little bit more mature, and he sort of understands how to calm himself and stay, you know, calm. Yeah,
even though he's still got that side eye.
Yes. That will never go away.
No, that's his signature trait.
It is, yeah. Even daycare knows about it.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. I am Ness Jones in Australia from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded.
I am Stacey Bell from the US with Focused Fun. And reach out if you are looking for some support with your dog.
Yeah. See ya. Thanks.
See you next time. Bye.